This is Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Oh, it is Live Bet Saturday. Mark Melusis and Jeff Schwartz with you right here on VSiN as we're watching along here in Game 6 of the Eastern Conference Finals. And I think they're reviewing this for a flagrant foul on Obi Toppin on a drive to the rim on Josh Hart where he hit him in the head, Jeff. So it's a 15-point game, 30 seconds to go in the third quarter. And this could be a pretty decisive decision because if Hart goes to the free throw line, they call flagrant, he hits two free throws, and then you're able to then hit a three, you could be looking at a 10-point game going into the fourth quarter, decidedly different than a, say, 12 or 13-point game.
So what I don't have the volume on. I'm curious what they call. I think they did call flagrant foul because coach is talking to Toppin right now. Thibodeau has the same look on his face all the time, so I can't tell how his reaction is.
He looks like he's passing gas. I mean, that's what Thibodeau looks like. He looks like he's got massive indigestion.
Not a flagrant because they're at the line right now. So it looks like there's not a flagrant foul because he's just at the line shooting too. So, that obviously could change the way this game goes. Okay, let's do a check-in right now. Knicks fans, how we feeling, Mark? Let's say it's a 13-point game to end the quarter. How are we feeling right now?
I'm nervous. I think they're going to lose. I mean, want me to be honest with you? Like, I think they're going to lose.
This
is anywhere from you're down 13 to 15 points going into the fourth quarter. We could talk about Jalen Brunson being the closer all he wants. They've lost control of the game from a tempo perspective. Like, let's look at this realistically speaking. I mean, it's a 92-77 game. They're down 15 at the end of the third quarter. The Knicks were a 4-point dog coming into it. Indiana, look at this.
That's what I just said.
So it's a 15-point game, and then they allow Halliburton to drive down the lane. So Knicks missed a fast break opportunity where they blow an alley-oop dunk and then allow Halliburton to drive down the lane and dunk the basketball. And they settle for a Josh Hart three at the end of the third that doesn't fall, basically an absolute brick. They're down 15 now going into the fourth quarter. You're on the road. The Indiana Pacers have scored 55. 33 and 34 points. The Knicks in the third quarter outscored 34 to 23. What would lead you to believe now, all of a sudden, you want to take a look at the odds? The Indiana Pacers were a 4-point favorite coming into the game. The total was set at 222.5. It's still set at 222.5. The Indiana Pacers right now having a 15-point lead going into the fourth quarter. They are a 12.5-point favorite. The Knicks have lost complete control of this basketball game.
Last sequence was bad. You had a chance to basically be down 11, right? Heading in the half, in the fourth quarter on a 2-on-1. You blew the lob, and then Halliburton gets a dunk, and now it's a 15-point game, and you're probably. We got to cut it to 8 with 6 minutes left. So you got to come out of this. You got to come out gunning, right? Like immediately out of this fourth quarter and make this a game as soon as possible.
I'm curious. I'm sorry to interrupt you, Jeff. I'm curious to see exactly what, DeLon Wright and Landry Shamet played 9 and 8 minutes in the first half. Through three quarters, they played 9 and 8 minutes. Every Knicks starter, when you're looking at plus minus, is in the minus range. You want to look at Karl Anthony Towns. Say, in his 29 minutes on the court, the Knicks have been outscored. They are a minus 16. Every Indiana starter, since they've been on the court, now you would say, okay, well, that comes along with them being up 15. Not necessarily when you look at it. They're all in plus figures. Pascal Siakam has scored 26 points. When he is on the court, the Indiana Pacers have outscored the Knicks by 24 points. I mean, it's just remarkable when you look at it. No, this is a disaster. I mean, it's unless the Knicks come out in this fourth quarter in the first 3-4 minutes and go on a 9-0 run, something of that nature, What would lead you to believe that all of a sudden this team is going to be, and they got to get stops. And in order to get stops, you have to put DeLon Wright and Landry Shamet in the game. How is that exactly transpiring?
It's probably
you need to also score.
Yeah. It's not, it doesn't feel like a good spot to be in right now. Right. If you are a Knicks fan, that end of that half, the end of that quarter, man, it's just not great. And now you basically have to play, you know, these minutes to start the fourth quarter where you typically get a break, right, for your guys. You have to play through the rest, right? Mark, I think you have to, even though I know you mentioned, you know, defensively, it makes sense to not play through the break, but, to play your normal breaks, but I don't know, man. You got to play these guys. You got to get back in this game as quickly as you can. Just updating some stats here for everyone, just so we have an idea of where guys are at. If you're looking at player props, Bridges with 15, Anobi with 19, Cat with 13, Robinson with 8 and 9 rebounds. He had 5 offensive rebounds in the first quarter, by the way. 15 for Brunson, Siakam with 26, Nesmith 10. Turner 9, Nembhard 7, and then Haliburton with 10. And then Mathurin, who we joked about taking the under, maybe 4 points, 7 minutes. Hasn't played at all tonight.
No, has barely played, and he was great offensively in both game 4 and 5. Want to know where the money is really going? Unlike other sources, our betting splits come straight from Circa and DraftKings Sportsbooks, giving you insight into where the sharp action is landing. Circa is known for taking big bets from professional bettors, while DraftKings provides a broader market perspective. That means you're getting the real action, not just public money, but the kind of wagers that moves lines. See the percentage of bets versus percentage of handle on every game across every major sport, helping you make smarter, more informed bets. Get VSiN's exclusive betting splits for as little as $9.99 for your first month at VSiN.com/subscribe. NBA right now, Eastern Conference Finals, the Knicks 92-81. They trail the Indiana Pacers 11-23 to go in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, look at the time they were pushed. Someone got hurt. Who was that? Was that Bryant down? They went in the court there, Mark. They had to call timeout. He was laying on the ground. As Anobi, I think, was coming in for a dunk. So, the Pacers are getting those backups in right now. Look, we thought Knicks scored 4 points immediately to start the fourth. I mean, they're still in this. I know it might be painful as a fan to think they're still in this, but they are. They're still in this right now.
Yeah, they're still in it. They're only down 11, 11-23 to go. It all comes down to the fourth quarter. We've seen the Knicks come back from the dead before. You saw it twice in Boston against the Celtics. You saw it in game 3 in Indianapolis against the Pacers. Just not the spot that you want to be in. That's all, if you're the New York Knicks. Now, they're going to lay it all on the line. They're going to make the Indiana Pacers earn it. They really are. They're not going to go quietly. I get all that, Jeff. But you ran through it in terms of the starters right now. When you're looking at totals, Bridges has played well, 6 of 8 from the floor, 15 points, 19 points for OG Anunoby, 13 for Karl Anthony Towns, Mitchell Robinson with 8, and Jalen Brunson with 15 points. You were asking me who's the guy on the Knicks bench that could maybe give you 12 to 15 points. The Knicks bench tonight has combined to score 11 points from 4 different guys. Yeah. The Indiana Pacers, Siakam with 26, Nesmith with 10, Miles Turner with 9. He's been plagued by foul trouble. Nembhard with 7, and Tyrese Haliburton has dropped in 10 points. They've gotten from their bench, they've gotten 12, 23, 26, 20, 30. They've outscored the Pacers bench has outscored the Knicks bench 30-11 tonight. Knicks have got 15 turnovers on the game. The Indiana Pacers have 9 transition points. Jeff, I would imagine, has favored the Indiana Pacers. The Knicks are lucky to be down just 11 for the game with 11 minutes to go in the fourth quarter.
I think points off turnover has been something that we highlighted early in this game that feels like the Pacers just taking control of those moments where when the turnovers have happened, they've made the Knicks pay. Yeah, so Knicks have conceded 30 points off Pacer turn. So Pacers scored 30 points on 15 Knicks turnovers, while the Knicks have only scored 8 points on 10. Pacer turnovers. That's a bit different in this game, man. Because look, the rebounding is Knicks are leading in rebounding. total turnovers. The Knicks are up five there. Pacers have a little more assists. The one thing we talked about at halftime that has not changed now: Knicks shooting 27% from three, Pacers shooting 56% from three. That's unchanged from halftime, which I think we both agreed was going to change. It just didn't happen.
No, it did not. Right now, Indiana leads by 11. 11 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, 11 minutes to go in the game. They're a 9.5-point favorite, minus 1,000 on the money line. And the total right now is taking a tick up. It's sitting at 223.5 for the game right now. So, this is I think that was – who was that who was just helped off? Was Walker. Jarice Walker. Walker. Yeah, that was Walker. Yeah, who was a first-round pick, I think, by Washington a couple years ago from Houston, played for the Houston Cougars. He was just – that looked like a pretty significant leg injury. I don't know. I didn't see the play at the time, yeah. But we'll see exactly what transpires, what happens. Knicks with the basketball down 11 with about 11 minutes to go in the game. We'll see if the Indiana Pacers close it out, punch their ticket to the NBA Finals. If the Knicks are able to win tonight, then there would be a Game 7 back at Madison Square Garden at 8 o'clock on Monday night.
Yeah, look, I was looking at the schedule. I love it because I think we have to wait till Thursday for the NBA Finals to start. We have to wait till Wednesday for the Stanley Cup Finals to start. They schedule these out in advance, and they just make us wait. You don't have to wait on baseball for weeks and weeks, which is fine.
No doubt.
Like during baseball.
Yeah, who doesn't like a little baseball? We'll update you on the baseball scoreboard. We'll do that next. He's Jeff Schwartz. I'm Mark Melusis. Live Bet Saturday right here on VSiN. It's Live Bet Saturday. Mark Melusis and Jeff Schwartz with you as we're coming down to nitty-gritty time in Game 6 of the Eastern Conference Finals between the Knicks and the Pacers. The Pacers with a 10-point lead as we speak right now, with 8:38 to go in the fourth quarter. 12-point lead with 8:38 to go in the fourth quarter. It's tough to – Aaron Nesmith just went to the bench. It looks like he was writhing in pain. They've lost one player. He was dealing with foul trouble in the first half. It's amazing how long Haliburton's back in the game. I was wondering why Rick Carlisle in a closeout game was playing extended minutes for TJ McConnell. I like McConnell off the bench, but if you're an Indiana Pacers fan, you know, you've got this lead. How do you not have Tyrese Haliburton back in the game, orchestrating things down the stretch with an opportunity to close this thing out and punch your ticket to the NBA Finals where you'll take on the Oklahoma City Thunder?
You don't like McConnell's set shot? Like old school, like
no jump.
From the top of the screen.
He's a good role player, Jeff. You know this.
Oh, he's great.
Jeff, you know this. There are good role players, and then there are guys that you got to, and he's a guy that can steal you, 12, 13 minutes a game. But the more you play him, the more warts you see.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that. So I've gotten to, I don't know Brian Scalabrine, but I've been able to talk to him over the years. We have the same agent, and he told me one time, because I love that series he does where he like challenges like high school kids and college kids who think they're better than him. And he says, I'm closer to LeBron than you are to me in talent, which I love. But I was talking about his career one time, and he's like, dude, I was great because I give you 10 to 14 minutes of my best every night. But if I ever had to start, teams would figure me out, right? Over like 5, 6, 7 games. So he's like, I was perfect for backup for my entire career. It's what I thrived in. That feels like a McConnell thing, right? Like great in sort of like that 12-minute spurt. Get a little more than that, probably going to get yourself a little over your skis. And that's just what some guys are, right? Like they're meant to play. They have to fill in spot start every now and then. Like they're good, but any long period of time, like McConnell had to play 25 games as a starter. He's not the same player that you get off the bench for 14 minutes.
No, not at all. Totally agree with you. Update you on the baseball scoreboard right now. Bottom of the eighth. Jeff, you threw it out a little while ago. Would you take the over? It was sitting at, 18.5? Hopefully the people hopped on board and did. The Dodgers right now, all over the Yankees, it's 18-2 in the bottom of the eighth. They have men on second and third and two out. They could put up conceivably. Oh, they just got out of it. So it's 18-2 going to the top of the ninth inning. This game has been over for hours. The Seattle Mariners, how about them? Have come back against the Minnesota Twins. We're trailing the majority of the game 3-2. Seattle right now leading Minnesota 4-3. They're in the bottom of the eighth inning. The Pittsburgh Pirates have jumped out on top of the San Diego Padres. They're leading 1-0. They're in the top half of the third, that game out in San Diego, and the final game on Major League Baseball on the night out in Arizona. The Washington Nationals in the top half of the first inning have jumped out on the Arizona Diamondbacks. They lead that one 3-0, man on second, nobody out, and they're still threatening with Washington leading that one 3-0.
Yeah, the Pirates just, they cannot score, man. The only time you watch the Pirates is when Skeens is pitching, right? That's the time you can't first five unders, first five Pirates. Otherwise, you just got to stay away. 21-37 for the Pirates this year. I think that's not good. Now it's not Rockies, but 21-37 right now for the Pirates. They're up 1-0 early against San Diego.
The Pacers right now leading the Knicks 104-89 with 6:38 to go in the fourth quarter. Still maintaining a double-digit lead. The Knicks have not been able to cut into that lead at all. They've had some opportunities here, Jeff. There's no doubt about it. The turnovers have been a huge issue for the Knicks tonight. They've turned the basketball over 16 times. 16 times for the New York Knicks. They're shooting 47% from the floor. They're shooting 23% from three.
They are. Can I give a moment of levity here? The Dodgers down 18, up 18-2 have put in a position player to pitch as well. And he's wearing like a half helmet thing over his head. And I've not seen this before, Hernandez. And second pitching appearance this season. Oh, it's Kiki Hernandez. That's who it is. They're up by 16. They also brought in a position player to pitch.
Yeah, Pablo Reyes.
He might be throwing the ball like 45 miles an hour.
Dalton Rushing's like, in the game.
How old are your kids, Mark? Our kids are about the same age, right?
Yeah, 12, 10, and 8. Yeah. My boys are 12, 10, and 8.
Okay, so mine will be 11 and 9 fairly soon. So do they play baseball at all?
They do not. They got bored.
Okay.
They got bored by it. They play hockey, and play lacrosse, a little bit of soccer, and flag football.
Okay, great. This looks like when a coach is pitching to a youth, like a 12 and under kid. Like, he's throwing the ball super slow, throwing like a dart, just like a little loopy over, just like get over the plate so the kids can hit it. That's what we're seeing right now from Kiki Hernandez. It's impressive to watch.
It is. You know what it looks like? It looks like the pitching machine. You know when you're learning and you throw the pitching machine and it just lobs it up there? Like when you have like, it's not dad pitch, but it's the pitching machine before you take the step up. I don't know what league you go. You go from like T-ball or whatever, not T-ball, but you go from mechanical pitching to then kid pitching. And then when you get to kid pitching, the games are like 9 hours long. Like they don't end because nobody throws strikes.
So yes, we have an hour and 45 minute time limits in our games, and they can be quite long. AU softball also can let you know, not a lot of strikes being thrown in the AU softball there, Mark, but they have time limits in those too as well. Yeah, you'd be shocked to learn, not a lot of strikes. We have our rules though.
How so, Jeff, this, though? What's the? Yeah, what's that?
Go ahead. So
no, what's the least amount of innings you guys have played an hour and 45?
In boys, kid pitch, essentially it's mostly boys. I mean, three and a half, probably.
Three and a half. Gotcha.
Yeah. Softball. Gotcha. We're getting to 4 and 75 minutes because there's a four run per inning limit and there's no walks.
Okay.
So you start with a 1-0 count. If you get to four balls, the coach has three pitches to throw to the girl. If she doesn't hit it within three pitches, then she's out. So it does like move it along a little bit in that manner. But yeah, you pray that the catcher can catch the ball and there's no pass balls, and you pray that the pitcher can throw some strikes.
Can I ask you a question? Right now, it's 113-94. Do you think Timothy Chalamet is still sitting courtside, or do you think he left? Four minutes to go.
I think I think he left, but that would be the wrong move to make. I think you have to sit. If you're in the court like that, you just have to sit it out. Like, you have to ride this thing out.
No, I agree with you. My dad would be like, let's go. Like, it's over. Like, my dad was one where, like, I don't know, like, growing up to games, like, my dad was always the traffic guy where he was like, when we go to Yankee games, and he'd be like, I remember I was watching, we were watching Yankees and Cleveland at Yankee Stadium, and Bartolo Colon, you know, the young Bartolo Colon, when he was throwing the ball like 99 miles an hour, and that was like an outlier then in Major League Baseball, was throwing like a no-hitter in like the eighth inning. And my dad was like, and it was a packed house. And my dad's like, let's get out of here. I'm like, Dad, we have a chance to see a no hitter. He goes, do you know what the traffic's going to be like at the GW? It's going to be a nightmare getting out of here. I was like, can we just wait? The Yankees were winning. They were like up like 9-0. The Yankees were losing. They were like down like 7-0. Like, it wasn't a case. I was like, let's just see if we see a little bit of history. I go, let's wait and see if he gives. He ended up giving a hit in the eighth inning. That ball landed in the outfield for the hit. And my dad was like, we're out. Walking back to the car. Like, my dad would, there was no way. Like, if I was sitting on the wood tonight with my dad out in Gainsbridge Fieldhouse, it's 113-94. We're dressed in the blue and orange rooting for the Knicks. He'd be like, let's get out of here. This one's over. We'll see you next year.
Do we have the same dad? I think we might have the same dad. Because my dad... UCLA football games, buddy, was we were so in 1998, UCLA was down 17 points to USC in the fourth quarter, and my dad wanted to leave. And I said, Dad, like, let's just stay and see what happens. And they won in double overtime. So I'm glad we stayed. If you recall, Josh Rosen at UCLA led like a 35-point comeback against Texas A&M in that game.
Yes, and I remember that.
I remember. I texted my mom, and I said, then again, I was like, did Dad stay? And she said, your dad just walked in the house. So he left and missed the entire fourth quarter. Same thing, like, traffic in the Rose Bowl is going to be bad. And the traffic sucks at the Rose Bowl, going all the way to the west side. It's terrible. But like, we have the same dad. We have the same dad.
Yeah, same dad, same thing. Always thinking about the traffic. It's live Ben yes. Saturday right here on VSiN.
This is Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to Live Bet Saturday. Mark Melusis and Jeff Schwartz with you. We've been talking about our dads, talking about leaving games early, talking about a lot of different things because there's not much drama in the Eastern Conference Finals Game 6 with a tad over 2 minutes to go. The Indiana Pacers are leading the Knicks by 19 points. There's no miracles tonight for the New York Knicks. They're not rallying from this one's over, Jeff. And now we could start to look ahead to the NBA Finals. I was dead wrong taking the Knicks plus the four, thinking that this game was going to be close. Indiana, you know, really, to be perfectly honest with you, Jeff, Indiana set the tone. You mentioned it at halftime, which was a very, very good point. That let's see what comes out the start of the third quarter. The Knicks have had issues with the start of the third quarter. Indiana wanted to set a tone early. I think they began the third quarter. They led by four at the half, began the third quarter on an 8-0 run to take a 12-point lead. I think the closest the Knicks have gotten to the Pacers here in the second half is 8 at 78-70. How did Indiana then respond? They responded on a 14-7 run to have a 15-point lead going into the fourth quarter, and right now they lead by 19.
The Knicks just haven't slowed the Pacers down at all offensively. I mean, they're still hitting a ton of threes, and I mean, now the game's over, obviously, but they're just hitting a ton of threes, and so they haven't slowed down at all, and now the Pacers go into the NBA Finals to face the Thunder. I will wager on the OKC to win that series in five games. I think the Pacers will get one, probably game three at home. The Thunder have shown in all three of the series so far, they've had one game. They just didn't show up. They're a young team. Like, this would be, Mark, this is a rarity for a team with a superstar as young as SGA to win a championship, right? It typically... You guys are 27. I know, I think it's 26, but 27, 28, 29, they're an older type team. Not the case for OKC. So they still have those games where they don't show up. Against Memphis, they came back and won that game. The Nuggets, they got blown out, and they got blown out by Minnesota in game three, I believe, right? Yeah, it was game three. So I think in the end, it's a five-game series. I mean, OKC is what, minus 750 to win the championship, which is wild.
Yeah,
I'm sure we'll get more information out about what, like, that's historically speaking, but they're a heavy favorite.
Yeah, so let's look at it. And these were some lines before this game went final, right? I'll give it out. The Thursday night line, game one, Pacers Thunder.
It's nine.
How big of a favorite do you think? Nine, correct. So they're a 9-point favorite. The total in the game is sitting at 231. You mentioned about Oklahoma City. How big of a favorite? You said minus 750. You're right there. They're a minus 770 favorite. Yeah. The Indiana Pacers are plus 540 to win the series. And I think you nailed it. I mean, and we talked about it before this game got going. And game six, hoping that we'd see a game seven on Monday night back at Madison Square Garden, just for the sheer sake of the action just for the sheer sake of the drama and the spectacle of a game seven back at Madison Square Garden. We're not going to get it. And Jeff, here's the thing that you see is, but we both said it earlier, we didn't necessarily think Indiana or New York really had much of a chance against Oklahoma City. The question was, which team would be more of a threat or be more of a kind of a thorn in the side of their opponent? Kind of thought the Knicks because of the size. I'm not necessarily so sure. I think it's a short series either way. I think Indiana's going to lose in five games. I agree with you. Maybe six at the most. And I think the same thing would be said if it was the New York Knicks who got through the Eastern Conference Finals, but they will not.
Yeah. Haliburton just hit like a 40-foot three-pointer at the end of the shot clock. The Knicks have guys in. Like, there's always that couple of guys that when they're in the game, you're like, yep, that means the game is over. So that's where we're at right now. Look, Indiana, they about 4 minutes left in the second quarter, Mark, is when that pace changed, right? The pace of the game really picked up and favored Indiana once that happened. So, look, I think it'll be is that Spike Lee? Spike Lee stayed. There we go, Mark. He stayed. Good for him. That's a good fan.
Oh, he stayed.
Stayed till the end? I think he stayed. That's Spike Lee,
and I just
right?
saw I Chalamet and Chalamet's there as well. They stayed too. Yeah, they're
okay, good.
Is that Spike? Yeah, that is Spike. Is that Spike? Yeah. I guess it is, yeah.
So Haliburton had 21, 13, and 6. That's 38. So I think he went over. It was over his points, rebounds, and assists with that last three, actually. And that's actually what happened. It went over there. So Oklahoma City, by the way, has been between like an 8 and 9.5, 10-point favorite at home the last two rounds. So like that number is about right. It's what they've been. I think Oklahoma City is a really good live wager team. Because when they start putting those defensive clamps on you, Mark, like that's the end of the game. And these games go from 4, 6 points to like 8, 10, 12, 14, 16. Like it just gets big fast when OKC starts that defense really, you grind in the game down. So good live wager opportunities, I think, the entire series.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I think Thunder would deserve to be the favorite. I don't think it's, I'd be surprised if it's a very good series. I mean, I think Indiana wants to push the tempo. They got to go out there and take care of the basketball, and they've got to be really, really offensively efficient. But, everything, and here's where I think you learn lessons, Jeff, and you could speak to this more as a former athlete playing at the ultimate level than I can, but just watching from afar, I do think teams learn lessons. And I think that Denver series was really important for the growth of Oklahoma City and the Thunder. Yes. And you saw that, and you saw them grow in that Minnesota series. And I think coming off that Denver series where, they could have lost in seven games, if Aaron Gordon doesn't suffer the groin injury, the hamstring injury, who knows what that seventh game looks like. But he did. I think it's an Oklahoma City team that now is going to be next to impossible to deal with if you're the Indiana Pacers.
It felt like that Nuggets series, that game seven, was the quote-unquote NBA finals, right? Like the Nuggets sort of had a recipe to attack OKC. They're a championship team, right? Murray, Gordon. Gordon was there for the championship. Am I right on that? I think he was. Jokic,
yes,
obviously.
Gordon was there, yes.
And the shots Jokic can make, no one else can do. Like, no one else can do. They weren't phased at all. The moment wasn't too big for the Nuggets. Now they ran out of steam at the end there, obviously. But that did feel like the most complete team able to compete with OKC. And when they won that game seven, they haven't looked back. And they finished out games in Minnesota which was impressive. And again, like, in just matchup wise, you know, I don't like the matchup for the Pacers. So you have a situation where I think your interior defense is not great. Like, who's your interior defender? Miles Turner, Obi Toppin? Like, who's your guy who's going to defend Hardenstein? And if Holmgren wants to go inside, or if Shea gets into the paint, who's making those plays for you? You can guard those bigs on the edge, Toppin and Turner, with big guys. You could put Williams on Siakam. Like, I think the matchups just work really well for the Thunder in this series.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. I don't think the size is there for the Indiana Pacers to deal with what Oklahoma City presents. You know, Holmgren, Hartenstein coming off the bench, I just don't. The defense as well. If Indiana wants to go up and down the court with Oklahoma City, I think that favors the Thunder. I think they're going to be more efficient. You know, and that's, and listen, I'm not trying to take away from Indiana tonight. They answered the call. You know, their performance in game five at Madison Square Garden, Jeff, we talked about it earlier, was terrible. You know, the effort was terrible. Siakam's getting called out by Greg Doyle after the game. Their performance was terrible. Tonight, they went in, they came home, all the pressure. They want no business of a game seven at back at Madison Square Garden. They shot 54% from the floor. They shot 51%. From three. You want to look at, you know, individual performances. Pascal Siakam, who the Knicks had no answers for this entire series, dropped in 31 points. You ran through the line of Tyrese Haliburton. Each and every starter for the Indiana Pacers scored in double figures tonight. And they controlled the tempo of the game. They outscored the Knicks in every single quarter. Their offensive production got better. It went from 25 to 33 to 34, 33 in that final fourth quarter. We mentioned it. The Knicks could not win a Pacers game. Indiana played this game at their tempo after a sluggish start. And think about this. The Indiana Pacers scored 125 points tonight. And for the first 6 minutes, I think they had like 7 points. Think about that for a second, and what they were able to do offensively the rest of the game. They were utterly dominant.
Yeah, they were fantastic. Look, I think we have to acknowledge here that sometimes you get takes wrong, and this tweet is making its way through the social media verse. Magic Johnson, who we know is an exceptional Twitter Xer. He put out here on May 20th, 2025, I have the New York Knicks beating the Indiana Pacers and the Minnesota Timberwolves beating the Oklahoma City Thunder. So 0 for 2 for the old Magic Johnson there. Yeah. 0 for 2 right there. There we go, buddy.
I wonder if we'll get a statement. Look, on
we all get predictions. We all get predictions. We all get stuff wrong.
Yeah.
But that's it. Like, there's no analysis, right, with Magic. Like, that's just – he just tweets out the most basic stuff ever. Like, he'll tweet out tonight. Congrats to the Pacers. They played better than the Knicks. They're going to the NBA Finals to play the Thunder. Good luck to them. Like, it's going to be the most, like, generic tweets ever. So, good for him, though. All right.
We're rolling back live bet Saturday right here on VSiN.
This is live bet Saturday on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Introducing the $500 trifecta from GBank First Bet and VSiN. All you need to do is open a GBank Visa Signature credit card in the first 90 days, deposit and play through $1,000 at First Bet to trigger the $500 trifecta. You'll receive a $200 in cashback rewards on your GBank Visa Signature credit card. First Bet will give you a $100 deposit match. VSiN completes their trifecta with a free VSiN Pro subscription through August 31st, a $200 value. That's a $500 trifecta from GBank, First Bet, and VSiN. Head to VSiN.com/GBank. That's VSiN.com/GBank. This one-time promotion is limited to customers opening a new account in response to this offer and will not apply to requests to convert existing accounts. Apply today. Terms and conditions do apply. Mark Melusis and Jeff Schwartz with you. This is a live bet Saturday right here on VSiN. The Eastern Conference Finals came to an end. The Indiana Pacers eliminate the New York Knicks in six games, winning decisively tonight 125-108. The Knicks turned the basketball over 17 times. Pascal Siakam was brilliant with 31, Halliburton with 21, a pretty empty 22 points for Karl Anthony Towns. Jalen Brunson tonight, he had 19 points. He had 7 assists. He also had 5 turnovers in the game. So did Mikal Bridges. He had 5 turnovers, and the Pacers able to take advantage of that sloppy game, play the tempo that they wanted. Now we have the NBA Finals, which is set, which is going to get y'all on Thursday night out in Oklahoma City. The Thunder are an 8.5-point favorite in game one. The total in the game is sitting at 231. If you're looking at series prices, Jeff, the Thunder are minus 770. The Pacers are plus 530 when you're looking at which team will hoist up the Larry O'Brien trophy and win an NBA title.
What is there a path, if any, for the Pacers? There's none. I mean, there is, of course, there's always a path. They just outshoot the OKC, right? They just have these games and they shoot 50% from three.
Yeah, I think that's the path. I think the tempo of the game. I think the path is maybe the inexperience of Oklahoma City comes back to haunt them. Get into, you know, have their bigs get into foul trouble. Try and run them off the court. The problem, though, with that kind of, I think that's the pathway. I mean, listen, here's what we do know about Indiana. They're going to play, when they're successful, they're going to play their way. It's not all of a sudden like they're going to try and slow things down. I mean, Carlisle screaming at his team, faster, faster, faster. They want to go out there and maximize possessions. So that's the way that they got to go out there and play. I think it's a matter of, can they go out there and consistently outshoot the Oklahoma City Thunder? They also have to take care of the basketball. I mean, that's it. You're going to watch a game now where we were talking about tempo. I think in the NBA Finals, I think it's going to be quicker each and every game, because that's the way Indiana plays. And I don't think Oklahoma City is going to do much to negate it, because I think they're very comfortable playing that way too.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think that's the thing about Oklahoma City, is that you want teams that can do different styles, and they are a team that can do different styles, right? They can play the grinded game. They can play the up-tempo game. They can play inside, outside. They can lock you down defensively. They can get on transition. They can do all those things. And on top of that, SGA is averaging like 32 points a game. Who is stopping SGA from scoring 30 points a game on the Pacers? Neesmith is injured. Well, I think right now.
He's not 100% healthy. He's dealing with that ankle. And then he got rolled up on tonight by Karl Anthony Towns. So let's look at series prices. We both like Oklahoma City. We both like the Thunder to win the series, right? Against Indiana. We do. Yes. We liked it before, whoever is coming out of the East. The Thunder to sweep are plus 320. The Thunder to win in five games are plus 210. The Thunder to win in six are plus 410. Yeah. The Thunder to win in seven are plus 490. Which one of those are you most interested in, Jeff?
So interesting. So would you say five games is?
Plus 210.
So you can get the Thunder to win the series 4-1 at plus 250. So search around for the best price, people, because that's the better price, right? I'm not crazy, right? Thunder to win in five is the same as Thunder to win 4-1. So you get an extra 40 cents there if you're able to find that. So again, I think they'll win in five, right? They win the first game going away. Second game's closer. Third game, the Pacers win at home. Fourth game is close. And fifth game ends up being what it's been, which is a double-digit win for the Thunder. I can the Pacers outshoot the Thunder multiple games, I guess? I just think when I think of what the Thunder do well, what the Pacers do well, it's hard, Mark, to find like two wins for the Pacers in this series.
I think it's hard to find two wins. I agree with you. I think game one's going to be intriguing because Oklahoma City, and I think that's going to be a winnable game for Indiana based on the nature of Oklahoma City having the amount of time off that they did. Maybe they're a little bit rusty and Indiana can catch them early. If that happens, then maybe this series goes to six. If that doesn't happen, and Oklahoma City, which they've shown you a penchant to do, Oklahoma City at home, look at the analytics. They're a significantly more dominant team at home as compared to being on the road, right? So if Indiana doesn't catch them early, I don't know exactly when they catch them. And if they go back to Cambridge Fieldhouse leading the series 2-0, I mean, are the Thunder nearly as good on the road? They're not. Do I think all of a sudden Indiana is going to be efficient enough offensively to put a significant scare in the Thunder? I don't. I don't, Jeff. I just don't.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think that it's a tough spot to be in if you're the Thunder. If you're the Pacers, what might be more competitive is the Stanley Cup Finals between the Oilers and the Panthers. Are the Panthers the most disrespected or not talked about team to play in three straight finals of their sport?
Yeah, I think they are. I give Paul Maurice a ton of credit. I mean, it's just amazing what they've been able to do, and they've dealt with injuries, and they acquired Marchand from the Boston Bruins right at the NHL trade deadline. You know, he's been great. Verhaeghe's been great. Bennett has been a little bit banged up. They're a really good hockey team, and you know, we get a rematch of last year's Stanley Cup final. If you're looking at it, who wins it? The Oilers are a slight favorite. They're minus 118. The Florida Panthers are minus 102 to win it. If you're looking at game one, it's up in Edmonton. The difference this year as compared to a year ago when Florida jumped out in that series 3-0 before Edmonton forced and came rallying back. Edmonton has home ice advantage this go around. The Oilers for game one are a minus 126 favorite. Florida is plus 105. The total for game one is sitting at 6.5 goals. Who do you like in the series, Jeff? Who do you like game one?
Yeah, I think Canada finally wins one, buddy. I think Canada finally gets it. And McDavid gets his championship. He gets his championship, and you know he needs it, right? I mean, he doesn't need it, but you know the greats win championships. And when you just watch, when you watch these two teams play, Edmonton, I think, just plays faster. They have more skill played out. Hyman's out, right, for the postseason? Am I right on that?
Hyman had surgery. He's done for the year, yes.
So that is certainly a loss. But I just think the Oilers and Skinner turns into, like, the best goalie of all time after game four in a series, which is kind of wild. I just think Edmonton's slightly better, and they have better goal scorers. They have better creators. You look at the points in the series from Draisaitl and from McDavid. Like they have, I think, just overall better players, if that makes sense. It doesn't always mean you win or lose that way. Home ice to me is, I think, less important than it ever has been. But starting certainly at home should be a big boost for Edmonton.
Yeah, I would agree. I think Edmonton's a little bit stronger. I trust Bobrovsky a little bit more than I trust Skinner. That's the only issue that I have going all in on Edmonton, because we've seen Bob, as they call him down there in South Beach, you know, go out there and get on these great runs and be able to frustrate guys. But I think you saw in that Dallas series 5-on-5 play, Edmonton was the stronger team. Florida's going to be, I think this does have an opportunity to where nobody is up 3-0 in this series or anything of that nature.
No, I don't think
I think this series is going to go back down to South Beach. I think this series is going to be tied up at a game apiece. I do like the Oilers though in game one. I would take Edmonton in game one, and I do like the Oilers a team from Canada to win a Stanley Cup for the first time since 93. It's been a long time, Jeff.
So McDavid has 26 points so far in the postseason. I think I looked up, that's like 11 more than the next Florida, I guess the Florida Panther. He's plus 130 have the most points in this series. Feels like, I don't know, not a bad wager to make. Maybe look at Conn Smythe as well for him. Those are some wagers I could see helping you win some money in this series.
Stay tuned to VSiN for after Live Bet Saturday for Cashing Out with Greg Peterson. That gets going right at 11 p.m. Eastern time, and kick off your Sunday with the VSiN Weekend Morning Line at 10 a.m. Eastern, followed by Ready, Set, Bet. It's going at 1 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. Jeff, this has been a blast, brother. I appreciate
it. Fun,
I appreciate
buddy.
You having me. You got
Sorry
it, man. Enjoy it.
Sorry about it.
Yeah, it's terrible. My kids are crying, Jeff. I got a lot to deal with after the show. Have a great night, everyone.